want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And, you know, if you're driving up and down Courtney Parkway, there used to be a bank there at the corner of Courtney and Merritt Avenue. There's a couple of different names that it had to it. And that property has been purchased. And if you're driving up and down there, I think it's Firehouse Signs is the name of the company that bought that property. And you may see our church information as it pops up as you're driving down there. And so we're only about two blocks away from that, two blocks south of Merritt Avenue, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. So if you see that, you know, you can think about us, pray for us. We need all the prayers that we can get. So we want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape and Space Coast Nursery, two businesses, one location, but Treasure Your Landscape goes off-site and comes to your house to work on your project, whether you are looking for a redesign or planting or maintenance or whatever it might be, whether you're looking for pavers or artificial turf or putting greens, landscaping services, need some help with your drains or downspouts or irrigation system. They've helped me with that as well. Their goal is to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. And here a couple of weeks ago, a little over a week ago, is May the 3rd, they had an event out at their nursery, which is at 3880 North Courtney Parkway. It's on the east side of Courtney as you're headed towards the Space Center. And pretty much right across from Sunset Lakes, they've got a wonderfully organized nursery. And if you like to go out there, if you're looking for some ideas on what to do with your landscaping, what you could do to put in this area, they know the sun exposures and things like that, what plants do well, what plants don't. Let them put their expertise to work on your project. The Space Coast Nursery is open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, 8 to 1 on Saturday. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. We thank the folks of Treasure Your Landscape at 749-1432. Again, that's area code 321. And Space Coast Nursery for being friends of the Refresh radio program. So today we're going to be returning to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Right now we are talking about things that we can pray for one another. How can we pray for one another? And on Friday's program, we were talking about you can pray for one another specifically by name. Every once in a while, I'll pray, "Hi, God, this is Bob." And it, you know, the amazing thing is I'm not the only Bob Arthurs. And, you know, he knows me. You know how some people know you by they know your legal name, and so they'll call you by that. And in doing so, they tell you that they either know you in a legal sense or they don't know you at all. They just know what they're reading on a piece of paper. Then I've got people who know me by my childhood name, and that tells me from what era of my life they knew me at, because there's different names that I have been called. Now, if my parents had ever used my full name, that meant they knew me very well and I was in trouble. That's what that name meant. And then there's people who know my name as it is in my adult life. That's Bob. And so, you can pray for one another by name. God knows you by name. He knows the name that he has for you. Revelation talks about he will give to those who overcome a name known only to him and to them. And so we want to be able to pray for one another by name. I hope that you will do that for your loved ones and say, God, hey, would you move sovereignly in their life? So that's where we were on Friday. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 reads this way. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So, besides praying for one another by name, we can also pray for believers to walk under God's lordship. Now, lordship is something that is not talked about a great deal in America. It may not even be talked about much in the body of Christ other than just a title. If you look at the British hierarchy of society, you would know that there were people who were given the title Lady and Lordship. And most of us would not think of it as anything more than a title. I want you to know that God is not just got a title over him of lordship, but it is one of the things that we should pray becomes a very present reality in our life, that his lordship should be preeminent in our family, in our church, in our finances. So I want to talk to you about lordship so that we pray. You see, it's a pretty simple prayer to pray when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. At that point in time, we understand that he is saving us from the chains that keep us in bondage, that he wipes away our debt of guilt and, you know, from our trespasses and sin, and he gives us life. But Jesus is not just Savior, he's Lord. So when we pray, and here it is in verse number 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed servant of God, is Lord, capital L. One of his titles is Lord of Lords. So he is the utmost in authority. So I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that so that we would know how to pray for one another when it concerns this principle of lordship. And the first thing I want to share with you is that when we become believers, we're not just asking Jesus to be our Savior. We want him to be the ultimate authority in our life. You see, that what happened in the Garden of Eden was Adam and Eve sidelined God's authority in their life and took matters into their own hands. They fell for the temptation. The serpent said, "Hey, I've got something better to offer you. You are going to rise." They had all of the trees in the Garden of Eden. Everything was available for them to eat. And the one thing that God in his sovereignty had said was off limits, they said, or the serpent said, and they believed that one thing. God's holding out on us. And we're not going to allow him to put any boundaries or any controls in our life. And so they took matters into their own hand, realizing only later that God was not keeping something good from them. He was keeping something lethal from them. And yet in our modern era, there are people who walk under this hyper grace. Now, believe me, grace goes to the uttermost, but there are people who operate with grace as a license to sin. I know people that do. I know them. They don't live in the area here anymore, but I know people who that's their thing. Look, I can live however I want to. I can do whatever I want to. And they don't understand that when we ask Jesus to be Savior, he also wants to be Lord and have the ultimate in authority in our life. So I got a phone call from someone that lives out of the area, and they were asking me, hey, can you help walk me through this major decision in my life? And so, you know, and in doing that, I never assume the role of the person who is making the decision for them. I'm just helping them to understand the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this person does, and you know, we were talking about the options, and we were talking about God has control over our life. And you know, I've had people tell me that the way that I run my life, where I look at God as my commander in chief. I really do. He gives me my marching orders, and my job is to say, yes, sir. And it's my privilege to say, yes, sir. Because it is a divine privilege to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that means you submit, you live under the mission of God's authority. And so literally, people ask me, how come you never moved on to a bigger church? Well, God never told me to. In fact, God told me specifically not to. And so I'm under his authority. And that's the way that I live my life. That God's in authority, I'm not. Now, I'm a man under authority. I'm under his authority. And so when he tells me to do something, then I exercise the authority that he has given to me. And so for the person that I spoke with, they were describing, you know, the multiple scenarios that they were facing. And my situation was this: look, if you are embracing the will of God, it is the perfect place to be. no matter how uncomfortable or inconvenient it might look to the flesh, it's the perfect place to be. So my wife and I, you know, when we were considering selling our house and moving to a different part of the island, I had my preference. And God said, you know, I want you to stay. You know, it's always amazed me whenever I'm talking with believers and they say, look, I just heard from God. It's amazing to me that God always speaks to them exactly what they want to hear. And whenever God speaks to me, there are some times that he tells me what I want to hear, but a lot of times what he tells me that he wants me to do is uncomfortable for the flesh, but God has the authority. So this one is going to be a little bit, this next principle of God's lordship that we can pray for is this. As Lord, my job is to know him. Jesus said that there were going to be people who would be removed from his presence, and they'll say, look, we did this other thing. And he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Okay? Doesn't mean he didn't know about them. It doesn't mean he wasn't unfamiliar, but they never developed that relationship of knowing the heart of God. And so, the second thing I've got here in the list of what his lordship involves, it involves knowing God. It involves knowing who he is, knowing what he wants, knowing his ways. A lot of times when you read, I believe it's in Exodus, where Moses says, show me your glory. Before that, he says, God, teach me your ways. Moses was skilled in the ways of Egypt. He was skilled in the understanding of the years of the centuries of bondage. He was learned in the ways of how to be a shepherd in Midian. But he said, God, show me your ways. The Bible says that God's ways are higher than our ways. And so it is not just knowing information. It is knowing on a personal level God, and as we know him, he will teach us like a Jewish father would teach, and that was he would teach every aspect of the family business. And so we need to know him. One of the primary responsibilities and privileges of being one of the 12 disciples was that they were chosen to be with him. So why do we come to church? Well, it's not that it's a perfect environment, but it is the best environment that we have where we get to know the Word of God and know God and know the heart of God. And as we know him and we learn the strategies, then we put those strategies into practice. So knowing God as Lord means, I'm going to use this expression, you know, someone said God created us to be human beings, not human doings. And it is true. It is not what we do as much as it is who we are. And God wants to transform us. And so I want to be cooperative with him when he is making me and transforming me into the image that he wants me to be. So that means there's change. I was talking with somebody in the community here not too long ago, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of change going on. And there's change going on in my life. And change, listen, everybody hates change. Unless it's change that they initiate. And if it's change they initiate, they're okay with everybody else being uncomfortable with the change as long as they're comfortable with it. But change for us is God makes us into the people that he wants us to be. He is more interested in our character than he is in our charisma. That's a pretty good word. Now, I will, so there is also an aspect that we are to be doers of the word. So whenever we talk about the person with the principle of the talents, and there's the one with the 10 that gains another 10, 5 that becomes another 5, or 1 who just buries it in the ground, I want to point out to you what the response to the faithful servant is. Well done. That means that we have known the master, we have known his ways, and we put them into practice. So when we're praying for lordship, we're praying, God, change me to make me more like you. God, show me your strategies so that I can do what you want me to do. The next aspect is that the principle of in the Word of God is that we are not owners, we are stewards, we are caretakers of God's resources. That when we became a Christian, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we entered into a covenant relationship with him. And covenant says this, that everything I have, successes, failures, plans, dreams, resources, all of those belong to God. And God says, everything that I have no failures. I have no shortcomings. I just have everything that is good and desirable and perfect. I want you to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All of the resources that God has, he puts into the covenant relationship with us. And he says, I want you to steward this. So it is not ownership. It's stewardship. I literally am not my own. I am bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So everything in my life, vehicles, houses, bank accounts, time, all of that is under the sovereignty of God. And so at some point in time, God will say, it is time for you to come into my presence. That'll either be with the trumpet sound at the Lord's return, or it'll be when I take my final breath. And at that point in time, I want to be able to stand before the bema seat of Christ and have an abundant quantity of things that I have done and things that I've lived for the glory of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, in divine obedience and faith, and have those acts and those days of my life come forth from the fire, shining like gold, metal, and precious stone. Be stewards. Stewards do not make decisions that violate the orders of their Lord. They just carry out the orders. So when I managed a shoe store, there were policies that I did not agree with. And sometimes it created some anger inside of me or frustration, where it's like, this is not the right way to manage a business. They are losing money doing this. And it was true. They lost that complete branch of their company. And so I was praying about it, because God's not just Lord over my church life. God is Lord over my work life and my finances and, you know, the boundaries and the times where I'm supposed to live. And I prayed, and God said, look, it's their company. It's their resources. You're not the one that's setting the policy. You're just implementing the policy. So don't strain your brain over what they're doing. Just do what you're told to do. And so one of the things that I was told to do for my company by God was to pray that God would bless my company. And if the general manager ever asked for input, I was more than happy to give it. But I was just a steward. And so I'm a steward of time. Let me quickly run through these other principles before we run out of time here today. When you're praying for lordship, you pray that people implement the principles and the strategies of the Word of God, that they will walk in obedience to the direction that they are given, that they will live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will live under mission, that God is the one who determines their assignment, that they are set apart by God, to God, for God's purpose, and that they live with respect of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here's the thing. If we as believers do not give the Lord the honor that is due his name, the world most certainly will not. They are not looking for another sermon. They are looking for a demonstration of people who pray and live that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would be clearly seen on display in their midst. May you have a great day. God bless you. We will be back tomorrow and share more of how we can pray for one another here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.